Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. Now I'm pleased to have with us in the studio this morning Paul Neal and Kelly Schrake of the Baxter Recycling, which of course is part of Baxter Day Services. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, I'm glad you could find time to come in and join us because you guys got a lot of stuff that's going on this summer. We've got some changes that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Hey, but if someone has been living under a rock and they don't know anything about Baxter Recycling, Baxter Day Services, Paul, tell us the story, because I remember, I think, a group met in the Methodist Church and put all this in motion back in the 70s. Is that about right?
You are correct. Yes, it was a small group back then of what eventually became the board of directors, several of them, and they started out with just a handful of clients. And from there, they moved into a building over close to the fairgrounds. I believe, is that where the daycare is now, Kelly?
Is that
right?
Yes.
Over
Small
there.
Small World, I think.
Small, mm-hmm. Yes, I believe that's right. Small World building. Mm-hmm. And then from there into our building now on Leo Davis. And then the warehouse was built and burnt down and was rebuilt again.
I remember
back
that.
Back in the... Was it late 80s or early 90s?
Early 90s.
Right? Early 90s. Okay. So we have been recycling for about 25 years in our current location.
Long before it was ever cool.
That's right. that is correct. Yes. It started on a very small scale. But really going back to those early days and talking about the original purpose and what our purpose is still now for the center, we do serve developmentally disabled adults. We're what's called an ADDT, which is an Adult Day Treatment Center for those mentally challenged adults. Currently have 60, our clients, we call them. And so they come, most of them, between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning and spend the day with us. We have a couple hours of class for them down in the center, down in the office building on Leo Davis and Rossi Road there. And we try to teach, life skills and all those things to try to help them be more independent in their everyday life down there. So we have that down there, and along with the offices, also have a lunchroom down there. We feed lunch every day, most of them, not all of them. Also transport many of them, not all, in the morning and then the afternoon. And then the other focus, the rest of the day, other than lunch and those couple hours of class, is spent up in the warehouse in our work program. So that's where the recycling comes in. Believe it or not, going back to our history, we used to have another business that was even larger than recycling at one time. We manufactured cedar products.
Really?
We certainly did up there. And our clients did the packaging for us. And that was a much larger business for us back in the 90s and 2000s and even up when I started back in 04. Mm-hmm. That was a larger piece of the business than the recycling was. And kind of like recycling never actually made any money, but at least it at least provided a paycheck for the clients. And we actually ran 24/7 up there in manufacturing. For many years.
That's amazing.
It is. And what happened there is what happened to many other industries in this country. The Chinese took that over. And still to this day, as far as I know, there's a lot of cedar that gets shipped over from Arkansas and then manufactured into those hangers and balls and stuff and shipped back. So anyway, we got out of that and the focus shifted more and more into recycling, picked up the curbside program. Actually, that was going when I started, I believe.
It was.
That was, of course, the old neighbors brought us that. And we had, as we still have people outside the city bringing us stuff, we actually took over that program for a little while when they couldn't afford to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Got to where we couldn't afford it either when prices are down, kind of like they are now. And so there was no curbside pickup for a while until Methven picked it back up with their contract. And they're currently pick up and bring it all to us. So that kind of leads us into today. What's going on now is times are really difficult in the recycling world. And it's not just around here, but it's nationwide. Prices are really depressed. Back to the Chinese. Kind of started up, and it's not the most recent stuff with the tariffs that are in the news now. But back some months ago, actually it's probably been a year ago now, they stopped taking our mixed paper that we're sending over, a lot of paper, just the same way we're currently collecting it, which is everything except for newsprint. A lot of it dirty, contaminated, much of it. Cost a lot for them to process it. Also very damaging to the environment, the way they were doing it. So they finally decided they'd had enough of it and just stopped that. And prices have been going down ever since. So that kind of leads us there with that discussion into our changes that we're being forced to make. Oh, Kelly, how long has it been since we've gotten any revenue out of the mixed paper? Probably about 3 years, three
it's
to four years.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah, but going on three. I checked it, but I forgot to bring that with me, that we have not gotten any revenue for the mixed paper. What's been happening now is, you know, trying to keep it clean. We've been throwing more and more of it away.
What's an example of mixed paper?
Mixed paper, the way we sort now, is everything except for newsprint, right, Kelly?
Right. It's basically going to include magazines, all your junk mail, cards.
Just,
you know, anything besides a newsprint is considered mixed paper.
What about the computer paper that we all print off and when we print our emails?
That's white office paper.
Okay.
That is okay.
That's okay.
But when we start getting into what our changes, there's changes in how you can bring that white.
Gotcha.
Right. You do have to shred it. I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag there. So, and the only reason, you know, we're doing that so people can bag it up and bring it to us in a clean form. Because here again, if it's dirty or wet, we have to throw it away. So we can't figure out another way to do it except for to ask people to shred it and bring it to us that way. So we're going to cut out all that mixed paper except for the newsprint is one of our changes that we're making, and this bagged white shred that I'm talking about. Well, so
what has basically killed the mixed paper market is because the country and here, all the curbside programs have gone single stream. And what that means is the
all
recycling all goes together. Like when Paul stated, when it comes in, the people don't rinse their containers out, or if it rains or whatever. So you've got plastic bottles with mayonnaise mixed in, and so that all gets on the paper. So now your paper is no good.
Mm-hmm.
So that, over years and years of our country doing that, even though originally the single stream was meant to encourage people to recycle.
That's what they told us to do.
Right.
It's come to
bite
us.
We thought we were being good humans by doing all that.
We're right now, even before we make the changes, we're throwing away about a third of it. Already, because we have to, because they won't take it.
Should
you know,
we clean all so. Those mayonnaise bottles or those containers and stuff? Should we clean everything that we put in the recycling?
Yes.
Okay.
Other thing that we need to talk about. That's not a change in what we're taking, but we've got to have folks do a better job of that. Yes. We truly do, because we have to throw that stuff away too. That's contamination, and. You know, the mills in this country as well are just getting pickier and pickier about what they're going to accept and what they're not going to accept.
Paul, let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Rinsing of aluminum cans, should we always do that? If there's any soda or anything left in there, does that contaminate the bag?
It does. And, you know, we ask you, I mean, you know, just rinse it one time. I mean, you know, we're not asking you to put it in the dishwasher.
Okay.
You know? But, yes, just a simple rinse with something like that is fine. Yes. Of course, water bottles aren't necessary there. You know, that's just water. So as long as you're not using it for something else. So, you know, we just see so much and you know, we could talk all day about the contamination, but I mean, some of the truly disgusting stuff you just wouldn't believe that goes in there.
Tell us some of your biggest offenders, just so we as recyclers will remember next time we go to put something in our container, you know, you need to make sure you clean this or rinse this. Or like I'm thinking, I emptied a cottage cheese container the other night and I put the lid on. It was empty, but I didn't rinse it, but therefore I messed that up.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame me. Tell me.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest ones is dairy.
I mean, because it spoils so fast.
Just imagine. You know, we've got our warehouse up there. except for the area where the clients are sorting. We do have some air conditioning in there, but the rest of it, where it's all baled up or sitting in boxes waiting to be baled, there's no AC. And so you can imagine when
especially
it's 90 degrees, right, and you've got a bunch of milk jugs that aren't rinsed out, and gets pretty bad.
I know. I feel like I always like local matters because you usually feel better about yourself, and now I feel like a really terrible person.
I think the number two besides dairy is pet food cans.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And tuna cans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cat food particularly when talking about pet food. Yeah, those can be really bad.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty bad.
Smells good when you open it.
Yeah, right.
Does it?
We just throw it away because.
All right, so remind us of effective. You're going to make some changes, and
right.
This is all coming up July 1st.
July the 1st. That's okay. When we're asking everybody, as far as the paper goes, newsprint and the bag shred only on the paper, as far as that goes. So. The other change would be the plastics. I'll let Kelly get into that.
I tell you what, let's take a break first because we got a lot to talk about with plastics. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Paul Neal and Kelly Strake of Baxter Recycling. Of course, they're located out on Rossi Road. You can give them a call if you have any questions as we kind of go through these changes. So if you have more questions, like I just hammered them with questions of my personal own during the commercial break, but give them a call at 425-0664. Again, that's 425-0664. Paul, just out of curiosity, what percentage of residents in the area participate in recycling?
You know, that is a real tough question, Heather. We really don't know the answer to that.
What about city customers that
city
that
customers? We're thinking about, what was it, about 1,200 customers in the city, of the city households right now, roughly, is what the Methven folks are telling us.
What percentage would that be? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I think I'd be about 20-25% somewhere in there, I believe.
Hey, you know what? Better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
We'll take 25%. Yeah. That means we can only go up.
That's right. That's right.
Kelly, you have a whole list of items that are acceptable. Again, these changes that we're talking about, this is effective July 1st. So you got a couple weeks to get your mind around it and get ready for it. But again, July 1st, these changes will go in effect for Baxter Recycling. Kelly, our list of plastics that you will now take.
Okay, the plastics that we're going to be receiving after the 1st of July will be number one and number two. And what that consists of, basically, to make it easy, is basically water bottles, pop bottles, juice bottles, detergent bottles, bleach bottles, generally. Okay.
Milk jugs.
What people are going to have to do, I found out from being outside and handing out these flyers the last couple of days, is people have never really looked at the bottom of their container. They just, because it's plastic, they think we take it. Mm-hmm. So now I've been trying to teach them and tell them, hey, look, now you're going to have to look at the bottom. And if it has a triangle, look for the number one and two. And if it has one and two, then we take it. If it doesn't, you'll have to throw it away.
All the bottles are marked?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They are.
I'm telling you, as Tim just picked up the sanitizer bottle in the office, too. There you go.
So, but basically, your number ones are really easy. That's going to be all water bottles. All juice bottles, Gatorade, pop.
There's a lot of water bottles and Gatorade being consumed in this area this summer. I know that for sure.
Right.
Just go out to the ballparks.
Yeah. So anything that's besides that numbers, then you're gonna have to throw
most
away.
Most of those number ones, if they're not clear, you can see through them.
Okay.
Right.
Twos that Kelly did leave out also would be detergent bottles.
Right.
Is a big and some of your cleaning bottles and some of those, but just look on the bottom. Okay.
Are we supposed to, I'm looking at Kelly's, I handed Kelly a bottle of Ozarka water. She probably would prefer like a regular cup I had used, but the Ozarka bottled water. Uh-huh. The label that's on that, do we need to rip the paper off that before we give it to you?
No.
Okay. Labels, so that's fine. Not part of that mixed paper issue.
No.
And keep the lids on all your plastic containers. A lot of people have asked me, well, can you just take lids by themselves? Yeah. And I said, no, but if you leave the lid on the container, you're good to go.
Why?
Because it's a different material.
Okay.
The mills don't mind if it's attached.
Really?
But if it's by itself, for whatever reason.
Also, a lot of them fall out on the floor when we try to bail them. They don't stick together. So that's another reason.
Rinsing the water bottles.
Water is not
okay.
Really necessary. Anything else is, but yeah, detergent if you can. Yes, like I said, just a quick rinse.
Yeah,
And you know the reason why we say that is here again. I may have said this on commercial break, but a lot of times we get stuff that still has the material in it, whatever it is.
Right.
So just a quick rinse. At least make sure it's empty. Right. You know.
And I think we need to emphasize that it has to be bottled plastic,
right,
because there are a lot of things like kids' plastic toys that have a triangle on it that have a number.
Hmm.
But we do not take that one or that two of that, because that's more of that gets into more of a hard plastic, molded plastic. So just basically bottled plastic only on the one and two. And just to put a little insert, one of the main problems we're having that I want to discuss is letting people know that we don't take any plastic bags of any kind. We don't mind you bringing it in the plastic bag, leave it in the plastic bag, but we don't take plastic bags. Like a lot of people will bag up Walmart sacks, Ziploc bags, frozen vegetable bags. You know, they're thinking plastic, so we don't take those. We never did. So I want to.
I'm
no
such a
bags.
Bad recycler. I mean, it's
you brought them.
The Ziploc bags. Yes, I'm a Ziploc bag. I thought you took those.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I feel like such again. I'm so sorry.
You know, it's one of those things.
It's like Local Matters has come like confessional radio for me. I apologize.
You know, we especially if you don't live in the city, you've got to bring it to us in something. We understand that.
Uh-huh.
Well, Walmart, by the way, has right there with the trash bags a bunch of clear, for many years they didn't have this, but now they do, two, three different sizes, varieties of recycling bags to bring. And it's something that we never harped on people too much because for many years we at least had an outlet for it. We haven't gotten paid for it in a long time, but at least we our partner would actually take it and get rid of it for us. And then here, some months or maybe a year or so ago, we finally just said, I can't do anything with this. So we've just been throwing them away since then. So anyway. All right, Kelly, you want to go over everything else that we take?
Yes, I will take what we do take, okay? So the things that will not change that we still take is we will take tin cans or steel cans. That's your soup cans, vegetable cans, cat cans, you know, pet cans.
Rinsed.
Rinsed, please. We will take aluminum cans, rinsed, okay? The cardboard will still take that. The only thing that we don't want is your cartons. And what that is your waxed cartons like orange juice containers, silk almond milk, those little protein shake type.
Like the Atkins shake.
Supplement, you know, drinks. Those are not acceptable because they're waxed. The cardboard mills, the paper mills do not like that wax that's on the cardboard.
Amazon boxes are, they're fine. A big one, but we don't. Do we have to rip the tape, the ceiling tape, or the labels off?
Tape's fine.
Okay. All right. Empty the boxes. Get the stuffing out of those boxes. There's a lot of plastic that's used in shipping right now. Does that count?
No.
It has the triangle on it.
No, that's plastic. That's still plastic bags. So no plastic and no styrofoam of any kind, because styrofoam does have a recycle symbol on it.
They're lying.
At least around here.
Actually, styrofoam is recyclable. But, you know, we would have to send it anywhere close to here.
Does China recycle it?
I don't think they're taking anything right now.
You want to know an interesting fact about styrofoam? This will blow you away. The state of Oregon banned styrofoam any way, shape, or form in the 1980s. So the manufacturers, when they ship to Oregon, cannot ship styrofoam of any way, shape, or form. So they've had to come with cardboard packaging to go. Food containers have to be cardboard. Mm-hmm. So my question is, if they can do it for Oregon, why don't they just do it for the rest of the country?
I had no idea. There you go.
Yeah.
Couple of other items that Kelly did not mention, and I will add these are also non-revenue items, but we have no plans to change these at any time. And number one is glass.
Right.
But glass is with caveats. So this is another problem that we have with our curbside pickup with a Methven in the city pickup, okay? You cannot put it in your bins. Okay, you must bring it to us, and we have self-service bins outside where you can put your glass, and then we just pick it up with a forklift and dump it down into a bin, okay? The reason why we cannot bring it in those Methven bins is what happens with glass when you empty those bins or when the truck gets in there and empties on the floor, of course it breaks. So we actually stopped taking glass at one time a few years ago when we had so many of our clients getting cuts. Because so much of it was broken. So we come up with a way to, you know, keep it outside the facility. And those bins are self-service. You can pull up there, same place you drop your other recycling off, and put that glass in there. So the other item that can't go in the bin that you have to bring to us is electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And that means exactly what it says. Go ahead, Kelly. Tell them what electronics we take and what we don't take.
Kelly's literally raising her hand. She's like, I want in on this one.
Electronics, think of it as entertainment. So we take TVs, VCRs, DVDs, printers, copiers, computer screens, laptops, cell phones, radios, speakers. The only TV we cannot accept at the center is projection TVs.
Okay.
They're normally the real big with the big backs on them. They'll actually, every projection TV will have a label on the back with the model number. It'll say projection TVs. We cannot take those. And so, but there is.
They have the wood cabinets and also the old consoles, if there's any of those still left.
Right,
not
right,
many
right.
with the wooden cabinets.
The ones that take the three people to carry.
Right.
But there is a place for people to take the projection cabinet TVs. They can take it to Waste Connections in Midway, the other garbage service. They'll take those.
Paul, I want to ask you a question. You keep talking about, you know, you've said, well, we don't make any money off that. We don't make any money off that.
Right.
And I want to make sure that people understand the whatever money you make, it's very, very small, but whatever money you make goes back into your program to take care of your patients.
That is absolutely true. We do the recycling for two reasons. One, of course, we want to serve the community. We've been doing that for 25 plus years. But first and foremost, it is to give our clients a paycheck. And so that's what it's all about. So that, you know, it helps us, to do that. We've got to have some revenue to support that. So right now it's much lower than it usually is because of the way prices are. But that's okay.
Have the prices dropped because more people are choosing to recycle, or is it because we're not smart enough recyclers?
Well, part of it is just the demand from China. I mean, they were buying roughly. I mean, they've stopped taking almost everything right now. They're still taking a little bit of cardboard and a little bit of plastics, but that they were taking 40% of the worldwide demand.
What were they doing with it?
So at one time.
The consumers of it.
Well, they were just, same thing that goes
repurposing,
on in this,
repurposing
this country,
it?
Just repurposing it, right? Right.
Okay.
But
I didn't know if there was some magic thing. I didn't know.
You know, a lot of the stuff that they were doing, they were just doing it in a very environmentally unfriendly way, and they've ruined a lot of their country with a lot of the plants that they built to repurpose this stuff. I think some of the byproduct and the environmental damage that was done was, when they figured out was worse than anything they might be saving by recycling it. They just kind of got to the point and said, enough's enough. We're not going to take this material anymore. We're going to do it a different way. And also they put a lot more infrastructure in place to recycle their own as well.
Okay.
So, but many of the plants over there you know, that are using this stuff, you couldn't build one like that in this country, you know, because of the regulations. So that's a good thing.
When they always talk about that in the Pacific Ocean, the island of plastic that's what, the size of Texas or something?
I believe that's right.
With plastic bottles and plastic bags?
Are we getting better at our taking care of our planet and our things and trying to reuse our, you know, don't drink out of a plastic bottle, buy your own bottle? I mean, little steps like that. I mean, are we making any sort of difference there? Please give me good news.
I would say that we are, yes. I would say it's, you know, it's slow and incremental progress.
Yeah. How's the state of Arkansas? Work to do.
Yeah, it is.
Honestly, we all know that.
Honestly, yeah. as in the economics of our state
would suggest that we have work to do.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very difficult. You know, it's just not. The reality is, let me just put it right on the table for you. The reality is, particularly right now, with prices the way they are, it's cheaper to bury it in the ground than it is to recycle it. Okay, that's where the market is right now. And this is nationwide, not just around here. So, you know, I think some of this is going to change. Things will improve. But eventually, we're going to have to decide that, you know, if we're going to take care of our oceans and the environment, it's going to cost us maybe a little bit more money. Yeah. So maybe that's
the answer to all your questions is always money.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so maybe that means an extra quarter on your water or your trash bill or whatever it is. You know, many states have bottle bills now where you're paying that cost up front when you purchase it. That money, so at least a portion of it, goes back to people like us and people that pick up the material. So, you know, those are the efforts I think that.
Well, we got to figure out a way if you want to package something. Styrofoam is still the cheapest way to package.
You're correct.
As opposed to cardboard. So if we want to make a real difference, that needs to change.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right. And by the way, I meant to mention this earlier. As far as the packing goes, that brown stuff that's used a lot of
like the brown
craft
paper.
Yeah. That stuff goes in with our cardboard. So that is good. I meant to mention that when you mentioned Amazon. So, yeah, that stuff we take.
You guys have to come back because I feel like we just scratched the surface and I still have a ton more questions, but we're out of time this Saturday. Paul Neal, Kelly Schrake,
thank you.
Baxter Recycling. Again, all these changes go into effect on July 1st. If you have any questions, give them a call, 425-0664, or go out to Rossi Road and take some of your recycling with you. If you do, just rinse some of it before you take it. How's that? Thanks for joining us. Y'all have a great Saturday.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.